Coming up on TERP Weekly Edition. Along with the new semester comes the usual jump in crime. Find out what students and police are doing to respond.
The women's field hockey team is 10-1. We'll tell you the secret to their success.
You'll want to hear why hundreds of t-shirts were hung all around Hornbeck Plaza.
We'll tell you the story of one talented former TERP who is making it big on the airwaves. TERP Weekly Edition starts now.
This is TERP Weekly Edition, a look at the issues and news in and around the University of Maryland College Park. TERP Weekly Edition is produced by students of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism in cooperation with WMUC Radio.
Welcome to TERP Weekly Edition. I'm Alex Dalverson.
And I'm Camille Bufano. Every good college student knows how important grades are, and some students might be seeing some changes to their transcript in the near future. Traditionally, at the University of Maryland, an A-plus and an A-minus carry the same weight on a GPA. However, this may not be the case for long. The University Senate is considering the pros and cons of weighing grades based on plus or minuses, not just letter grades. Some believe that it will show a more accurate reflection of your effort, while others like the current policy the way it is. The Senate will have a full report in March.
There has also been an increase in crime around College Park this semester. This week, I sat down with Captain Mark Lemansky to discuss the recent surge.
The newest semester at College Park is a little more than a month old, but local police are already under pressure to quell crime on and around campus. The university's Department of Public Safety has issued 6 crime alerts so far this semester, 1 on campus and 5 off campus robberies. Captain Mark Lemansky says the surge in crime is a yearly phenomenon that directly relates to students returning to school.
You know there's going to be an increase in activity in September because there's a new population here. A lot of times they're not aware of what's going on, what they're doing, where they're going, and behaviors that they need to adapt to.
To combat the recent crime surge, Captain Lemansky and his department create an entirely new shift, a hybrid between an evening and midnight shift for officers patrolling downtown College Park.
I take pieces of every patrol squad and I grab a bunch of officers and I put them in the city, in the downtown area, between 5 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the morning.
Despite his department's best efforts, Captain Lemansky says that students can get themselves into trouble by not taking appropriate precautions.
It's a college environment. People are gonna drink. But what we're saying is, if you're going to do that, use some other mechanisms, some other resources to make yourself safe. Right. But the problem is, judgment goes downhill.
Students seem to agree. And to avoid trouble, most take common safety measures to ensure they get home.
I don't usually go out alone at night.
I usually just try and stay with people because I know being alone is pretty dangerous.
Go in groups, never walk by yourself, and I have a night ride in my phone.
As for taking more extreme precautions, such as carrying pepper spray or mace, student opinions are split.
I've never carried it, no.
I think girls definitely should have something like that on them at all times or at night time.
If a guy carried around a knife, it would probably mean they're from West Virginia or something like that. I mean, no one in their right mind would need a knife.
One thing that police and students both agree on, if you're the victim of a robbery, give them what they want.
Give them everything I have. That's it.
I guess you just give it to them, honestly. Reading those crime reports, sometimes I just want to see what would happen if someone didn't give it to them, but I guess, yeah, you give it to them and you leave.
These are just things. Give away your things. If you're faced with violence, your life is much more valuable. You don't know what these kids are going to do these days.
In College Park, I'm Alex Dalverson, TERP Weekly Edition.
Up next, a robbery on campus rattles students, and we take a closer look at the campus police department.
TERP Weekly Edition. Police are here to help the community feel safe and secure, but is that how students really feel? TERP Weekly Edition's Jolie Doggett has the story.
They enforce, they protect. and they seem to ruin all the fun. University of Maryland students have big complaints about College Park and PG County Police.
All they basically do is ruin our parties.
I've not had a positive experience with them, either them following me through campus while I'm driving speed limit, or them pretty much, you know, telling me to put my stuff in harm's way and move a car.
Oftentimes, College Park police are labeled as violent.
There's a stigma about cops where they overuse their power, like the riot was a huge thing.
Ever since last year and the riots, there's just been so much negative publicity about them.
Students agree that negative feelings toward police officers started after last year's riots on Route 1, following the Duke game where PG County police officers were accused of brutally beating a University of Maryland student. The Diamondback recently published a report noting the significant drop in campus crime, but some students find this fact hard to believe.
There's been published reports that the crime rate has gone down, but I haven't found that to be true at all. I think we've received more crime alerts.
Really? Last semester, I don't really remember there being a crime on campus, and this semester there was. Yeah, I don't think crime's decreased in any means.
In fact, one student in particular feels less safe in the presence of an enforcement officer.
With College Park Police, I don't feel safe around them at all. If anything, as soon as they come, I lose a sense of security.
Some students, on the other hand, think it wrong to blame the police for their troubles.
I think my feelings towards campus police are pretty positive. It's hard to criticize, like, police. It's not like they actually cause crimes to occur.
However, when it comes to an emergency situation, students are pretty sure who they can depend on.
I mean, cops usually keep the security around campus, like, we need them.
I don't think anyone can say, oh, if somebody stole my bag or my car, they would call their mom and dad first, or they'd call one of their friends first. Like, no matter how much you say that you don't think that the police are doing their job, in the near future, there's probably not going to be a point where you think, like, oh, my car just got stolen, or, oh, like, I just got beat up. Let me not call the police. Let me call my grandma first.
College Park and PG County Police may be something students can't live with, but they're also something students can't live without. In College Park, I'm Jolie Doggett for Terp Weekly Edition.
Students are growing even more concerned about safety after a robbery on campus last Saturday. This is the first on-campus robbery of the semester. The robbery occurred near Anne Arundel Hall. The victim had his cell phone and wallet stolen. SGA, in conjunction with police, are planning a safety walk of the school's most at-risk areas. The walk is scheduled for October 11th.
A late-night pizza place now looks better than ever. And no, we're not talking about Lido's or Ratzy's. Vito's Pizza just got an expensive makeover. And Terp Weekly Edition's Corey Gallagher tells us how they can compete in a location known to fail.
Just when you thought it was over for Vito's Pizzeria, the tiny pizza shop on Route 1 by Hartwick Road did something you'd never guess, expand. Last week, Vito's underwent construction, and it looked as if another food place in that very location was going to close down again. However, owner Vito Riccio has refurbished his pizza joint, adding a brand new lounge area with a bar, more booths, and plasma TVs to go along with a student-approved liquor license.
Started off with just a single pizza shop, and we realized that we were putting out a lot of pizza, but people didn't have a place to sit, and we wanted to be able to serve drinks.
Vito assumed a liquor license when Varsity Grill shut down, and he will be using this to attract younger customers and take away business from other pizza shops that are less than a block away.
We try to cater to everybody, and that goes with having different events like Wine Wednesdays or different like appetizers like football and Mondays and Sundays and stuff, so we try to appeal to all different crowds.
Congestion is an issue in College Park near Knox Road late at night, and this area in particular has untapped potential.
So we just saw that there was a good opportunity for it. The building next to us was vacant, and we just kind of jumped on it when we could.
Other changes include a roped-off section separating the over 21 lounge crowd from the takeout area, TVs that aim at a Sunday night football crowd, and an enhanced menu, and even DJs every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. And why does Vito's think they're different than the rest?
You know, during the day we want to have an atmosphere where you could bring your family and your kids and your parents and not, like, be ashamed that you're in a College Park bar or anything like that. But also at night we want you to be able to come in and dance and drink and smile and have a good time.
In College Park, I'm Corey Gallagher, Terp Weekly Edition.
Next on Terp Weekly Edition, learn more about the latest exercise craze and a Maryland team that has had a near-perfect season. Stay tuned!
Just staring into space. I thought
Terp Weekly Edition.
To many students at Maryland, fall means football and soccer. This leaves other Maryland athletics in the dust. Jesse Brecker headed down to the field where she had the opportunity to talk with some of UMD's best fall athletes.
The University of Maryland's number 2 ranked field hockey team has been an absolute powerhouse on the field, dominating nearly any team that comes their way. In the past 5 years, the team has walked away with 3 NCAA championship titles and are now 10-1 so far this season, with no signs of slowing down, leaving many to wonder the secret to their success. Senior captain Alicia Morawski has the answer.
I'd say team chemistry.
Despite losing 7 seniors last year and gaining 6 new freshmen, Morawski believes their camaraderie off the field is what gives this team such an advantage.
When we're on the road, we're kind of together and the girls just meshing. It's really great to see, you know, everyone from freshman to I'm a 5th-year senior, just like everyone getting along and things like that. I think that is also seen on the field and just, you know, knowing each other, knowing each other's tendencies, and I think as that grows even more that we're going to do even better from that.
During the offseason, the look of the team certainly changed from the seasoned senior veterans of 2009 to the fresh faces of this fall. One freshman, defender Allie McAvoy, commented on the struggle of joining such a well-established and highly regarded program.
I found it to be a challenge, but I was ready to step up and do the best I could when I got here.
When talking of the team's success, one name continuously came up. In her 23rd season with the Terps, Coach Missy Mayharg recently racked up her career 400th win against Michigan on October 3rd, and the whole team got to be a part of it, including assistant coach Dina Rizzo.
Just happy to be a part of it. It's a huge milestone in her career, and there's many more to come and many that she's had, and, you know, it's exciting for her, and she, you know, she's pretty, you know, modest and, you know, says it's the players and stuff, but, you know, you have to have a great coach to lead the team in the right direction.
Many also commented on Coach Mayharg's guidance both on and off the field.
Missy has just been an incredible coach and leader, you know, everything. It's not only field hockey, but all aspects of life, so it's been really great to have her as a coach, and it's just an incredible 400th win.
Just her passion for the players, and, you know, she's not always just about, you know, just hockey. I mean, she gives them a well-balanced life, and I think that, you know, she just knows what the players need and what they want, and they really respond to her in a really positive way, and, you know, she's very motivational, and it's exciting.
Coach Mayharg's methods, coupled with the team's cohesive energy, make Maryland the team to beat.
In the future, I think this team's going to just keep going up and up and hopefully win some championships.
For Terp Weekly Edition, this is Jesse Brecker in College Park.
And you don't have to be a Division I athlete to stay fit at UMD. A popular fitness class at the ERC promises to get you in shape by using your best dance moves.
Didn't think working out could be fun? Well, there's a new aerobics fitness class at the campus ERC hoping to change all of that. It's Zumba. You pair international and Latin music with high-paced cardio dance moves, and you have the fitness craze taking over College Park. Yet Candace Tucker, a fitness instructor at the ERC, insists that Zumba is more than just some fun dancing.
Zumba is a fun way to work out, including cardio and toning and just dancing and having fun.
Caitlin Arlotta had never tried Zumba until her friends persuaded her to try the late night class.
This is my first time, so it was really fun. I really liked it. It was more intense than I thought it was, but I'm definitely going to come back Thursday.
So why Zumba out of all the classes at the ERC? The answer seemed varied.
Because I love dancing and I figured it would be a good workout. It's fun and it was something new.
Everyone talks about it, so.
I love the songs, and then, like, you kind of forget about exercising, you're just having fun, so.
I like shaking my butt for fun.
The highly energetic music and intense dance moves don't only captivate the attention of those participating in the class. There's always the curious bystander staring through the dance room's glass windows, trying to figure out what's going on.
First thing that comes to mind is Thai Bo. Some kind of plyometric exercise, Thai Bo, something, I don't know.
It's like some girls exercise thing.
But Zumba, with its sultry hip movements and sexy body rolls, isn't just for the ladies.
I just really like to have fun, you know, and it's an excuse to, like, let loose.
Participants follow the dance moves as performed by the fitness instructor, but Candace insists that the moves aren't difficult to pick up on, and anyone interested in trying Zumba should. In fact, one group of Zumba newbies had an interesting way of looking at their first-time Zumba experience.
You're kind of uptight the first 5 minutes, and then, like, once you get into it, you're, like,
you
more outgoing.
You
so you get Zumba drunk.
You're Zumba drunk.
Zumba has been so popular that the ERC had to add 2 additional classes to accommodate all those interested in participating. Next, they're taking Zumba to the waters by adding an all-new aquatic Zumba class to their fitness schedule. For Terp Weekly Edition in College Park, this is Fiona Weeks.
Up next, walkers and drivers struggle to share the campus roads.
DJ Khaled!
The remix!
Yeah.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. Whenever me and Khaled do the remix, everybody hands go up.
Hey, showtime!
And they stay there, and they stay there.
Welcome back to Terp Weekly Edition.
What do you get when you mix crowded sidewalks, hundreds of commuters, and impatient drivers? Terp Weekly Edition's Beth Schwartz talks to students who are all too familiar with this scenario.
Have you ever had to dodge a car on your way to class? Has it ever taken you 15 minutes to drive down Campus Drive? With more commuters every year in College Park, pedestrian safety is an increasing concern.
I often feel like cars aren't very considerate of other people that are walking around.
I've almost been hit 3 times and I actually have been hit once. I mean, I got a bruise on my hip.
Student drivers are equally worried.
When I drive, I feel inconvenienced by pedestrians in that they will walk out in front of my vehicle, vehicles in general, without looking at all.
I always feel like I'm going to accidentally kill someone and not realize it.
He's not kidding. Last year alone, there were 21 fatal pedestrian accidents in Prince George's County. Beverly Malone, assistant director at the Department of Transportation Services, tends to fall on the side of pedestrians.
I think that pedestrian friendly is better for everyone. It's better for your health. It's shown to reduce stress. People that walk tend to walk with somebody else, unlike people who drive.
For many, avoiding these nuisances is a personal decision.
As you can see, the congestion, the gridlock at class change with cars, I don't even know why people bother to get in their car.
It's really your own fault if you're driving around at 10:50 on a Wednesday. You should expect it.
I think both pedestrians and drivers need to be more aware of the other and be more courteous to the others.
In College Park, I'm Beth Schwartz, Terp Weekly Edition.
It may look like someone is doing a huge load of laundry outside Hornbake Library, but this isn't any regular clothesline. Terp Weekly Edition's Emily Groh tells us how hundreds of t-shirts represent a strike against sexual assault and violence.
Something rarely found on a college campus filled the air as the Clothesline Project took place on Tuesday, October 5th. Silence. Students quietly walked around while looking at each message a victim wants the campus to hear. Sexual Assault Response and Prevention Program Coordinator Allison Bennett said there's a broad range of emotions that survivors or friends of survivors display on their shirts.
Many of the shirts really speak to the difficulty of the healing process after a really traumatic event, but the strength that survivors have for being able to overcome those. It raises a lot of emotions because some of the shirts are very angry, some are sad, some are happy.
I didn't know I had innocence until you took it away, and it is an honor to watch you heal were only some of the messages written on t-shirts. The Clothesline Project takes place on campuses and at rallies all over the country. This therapeutic event lets every man and woman tell their story in their own way. Some shirts only have words, while others use art as a healing tool to overcome their suffering. Students are encouraged to make t-shirts at the event if they want to tell their story or to honor someone who has dealt with violence. Maryland student Julia Kim thought this was a great event to let people be heard.
And it's also a really great way for victims to express their feelings without feeling directly judged or anything, because, you know, all the shirts are anonymous, but they're able to tell their story.
The project was started in 1990 on Cape Cod, Massachusetts, by a group of women who wanted to raise awareness about sexual and relationship violence. The University of Maryland has been participating in this event for about 20 years. The Clothesline Project takes place on campus twice a year, once in October for Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and once in the spring for Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Each shirt is made by a University of Maryland community member. In College Park for TERP Weekly Edition, I'm Emily Groh.
Coming up in our final segment, radio becomes a unique source of entertainment. Find out what's causing all the noise.
Music sounded familiar to you, you've probably caught an episode of the newly revamped Hawaii Five-0 on CBS. The Mighty Sound of Maryland, UMD's marching band, spent the past month collecting online votes for a video of the band performing the show's theme song. The winning band will receive $25,000 and will be announced on this week's episode. Make sure you tune in to find out who wins. For as long as he can remember, Greg Sussman hoped he would become a sports talk show host. TERP Weekly Edition's Brian Kaufman has more on how Sussman's dreams are coming true.
If his voice sounds familiar.
Kegs, cops, and confiscated beer. All that and more, TERP Weekly Edition starts now.
That may be why. As a student in the Philip Merrill College of Journalism, Greg Sussman worked at WMUC Sports, the student-run sports radio station on campus, in various roles, including talk show host.
It was having any experience. You know, when you come out of high school, you don't really have much experience doing it, or I didn't have much experience doing this. So the fact that I was actually behind a mic, talking about sports for 1 to 2 hours a week, and just kind of, and learning the lay of the land, if you will, it was just a great experience, and it helped me become a better talk show host.
Greg graduated in the spring, and with his new gig...
Greg Sussman on Sports Radio 66.
The Fan.
WFAN.
What's going on? 1:25 in the a.m. Greg Sussman back here with you on The Fan.
He's bound to have a few more listeners. Sussman won the first WFAN Fantasy Phenom Challenge. The prize? A 1-year contract to host his own show on New York's premier sports talk radio station.
It's the dream come true, and we apply to places and across the country. Like, our dream is to get to New York, or my dream was literally to get WFAN and have a show on WFAN. So the fact that right out of college, essentially, I mean, other than a summer of applying to places across the country, that I was lucky enough to win this competition, it really is a dream come true. I know it sounds cliche, but it was my dream to have a talk show on The Fan, and now I get to live the dream every week, and it's incredible.
Though he didn't get the most favorable time slot, Saturday mornings from 1 to 3 a.m., that doesn't faze him.
A couple people have told me, you know, that's ridiculous, when's your time slot going to change, but listen, first of all, I'm a fan. I'm not going to complain about any time slot. Second of all, what am I doing? I'm not going to replace Mike Francesa in the midday, during the day. I'm not going to replace Evan and Joe from 10 to 1 or even Steve Summers. He's been there for 23 years. I'm not going to replace him. So the obvious time slot is going to get was overnight. And 1 to 3 is not bad at all. You're right after Steve Summers' program, which brings in a ton of listeners. You're right after certain games end, especially in the playoffs with the Yankees. So I have a ton of fun. I know people are going to listen. I've had a ton of callers so far in the first couple weeks I did my show, and I've just had an absolute blast.
Although he was selected from over 2,000 contestants by listeners and judges at The Fan, Greg remains humble.
WFAN is a CBS-owned station, so the executive producer there or program director there has reached all these other CBS-owned stations. So if they like what they hear, they'll move me around, possibly to one of these cities, a better time slot. And if they like what they hear then, in a couple of years, maybe I'll move back to a better time slot in New York. I just think the ability to put WFAN on my resume will help me wherever I go or wherever I end up.
From May graduate to New York sports talk show host, not a bad start. In College Park, I'm Brian Kaufman, TERP Weekly Edition.
That's all for this week's TERP Weekly Edition. I'm Camille Bufano.
And I'm Alex Doverson. We'll be back next week with more news from in and around College Park. And don't forget, you can take us with you. You can find our podcast at www.twe.umd.edu.
This has been TERP Weekly Edition, produced and written by students of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism in cooperation with WMUC Radio. Please join us next week at the same time for a look at the issues in and around the University of Maryland College Park.